Last spring, the National Security Agency, the NSA, flagged an unusual phone call. It was between two members of foreign intelligence, and they were discussing a person close to Donald Trump. This, according to a whistleblower's attorney, who had been briefed on the details of the call. The highly sensitive communique, which has roiled Washington over the past week, was brought directly to the attention of the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard. But rather than allowing NSA officials to distribute the information through normal channels, Gabbard took a paper copy of the intelligence directly to the President's Chief of Staff, Susie Wiles. That's according to the whistleblower's attorney, Andrew Bakaj. The very next day, after meeting Wiles, Gabbard told the NSA not to publish the intelligence report. Instead, she instructed NSA officials to transmit the highly classified details directly to her office, Bakaj said. Details of this exchange between Gabbard and the NSA were shared directly with The Guardian. They had not been previously reported, nor had Wiles' receipt of the intelligence report. On April 17th, a whistleblower contacted the office of the Inspector General, alleging that Gabbard had blocked highly classified intelligence from routine dispatch. The whistleblower filed a formal complaint about Gabbard's actions on May 21st. The Guardian had initially reported that the phone conversation was between a person associated with foreign intelligence and a person close to Trump. But after publication, Bakaj said he had misspoken. He clarified his understanding of the complaint in a statement. The NSA picked up a phone call between two members of foreign intelligence involving someone close to the Trump White House. The NSA does not monitor individuals without a reason. The person close to Trump is not understood to be an administration official or a special government employee, according to a person familiar with the matter. Bakaj said that members of the intelligence community are often referred to him for legal counsel because of his background and expertise. He previously served in the office of the Inspector General for the CIA. A press secretary for the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, ODNI, said to The Guardian in the statement, "This story is false. Every single action taken by DNI Gabbard was fully within her legal and statutory authority. These politically motivated attempts to manipulate highly classified information undermine the essential national security work being done by great Americans in the intelligence community every day. This is yet another attempt to distract from the fact that both the Biden era and Trump-appointed Intelligence Community Inspector General already found the allegations against DNI Gabbard baseless. For 8 months, the intelligence report has been kept under lock and key, even after the whistleblower pushed to disclose details to congressional intelligence committees. Acting Inspector General Tamara A. Johnson dismissed the complaint at the end of a 14-day review period. In a June 6 letter addressed to the whistleblower, she wrote, "The Inspector General could not determine if the allegations appear credible." The letter also stipulated that the whistleblower could take their concerns to Congress, but only after receiving DNI guidance on how to proceed. Given the highly sensitive nature of the complaint, lawmakers have said the independence of the watchdog's office may be compromised, ever since Gabbard assigned one of her top advisors, Dennis Kirk, to work there on May 9th, 2 weeks after the whistleblower first made contact with the Inspector General's hotline. Gabbard's office issued its first public acknowledgement of the highly sensitive complaint in a letter to lawmakers on Tuesday, 1 day after the Wall Street Journal reported on the classified brief. It was posted to the Odd News X account, including claims that the Inspector General had not informed Gabbard of her obligations to transmit the complaint to Congress. Bakaj said the Odd News office cited several reasons for the delay in intelligence sharing. Among them, the complaint's top secret classification, the full government shutdown, and the Intelligence Community Inspector General's failure to notify Gabbard of her reporting requirements. Two attorneys, and two former intelligence professionals, who reviewed details of the incident and ensuing complaint shared with The Guardian, said they identified a series of procedural anomalies. Those anomalies raised questions about Gabbard's handling of national intelligence and the whistleblower disclosure, which had been reported to the Inspector General as a matter of urgent concern. Members of the Gang of Eight, a group of Senate and House leaders privy to classified information, received a heavily redacted version for review on Tuesday night. The leaders have disagreed about the legality of Gabbard's conduct, as well as about the credibility of the whistleblower complaint. Two Republican lawmakers dismissed its credibility and backed Gabbard's conduct, including Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, who said in a statement on X, "The DNI took the necessary steps to ensure the material was handled and transmitted appropriately, in accordance with law." But Democrats have raised questions about the delay. "The law is clear," said Senator Amar Horner of Virginia, the senior Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee. "When a whistleblower makes a complaint and wants to get it before a Congress, the agency has 21 days to relay it. This whistleblower complaint was issued in May. We didn't receive it until February." Warner said the month-long delay reflected an effort to bury the complaint. The contents of the whistleblower complaint are still largely unknown. Bakaj said that Gabbard's office had redacted much of the complaint released to Intelligence Committee members on Tuesday, citing executive privilege. "I don't know the contents of the complaint," he said, "but by exercising executive privilege, they are flagging that it involves presidential action." On February 3rd, Bakaj again requested guidance from Gabbard's office about how to share the whistleblower's full report while taking appropriate precautions. "As you are well aware, our client's disclosure directly impacts our national security and the American people," Bakaj wrote. "This means that our client's complete whistleblower disclosure must be transmitted to Congress, and that we, as their counsel, speak with members and cleared staff." Bakaj said the DNI's office did not respond to his letter by its Friday deadline. He plans to contact members of the Senate and House Intelligence Committees on Monday to schedule an unclassified briefing on Gabbard's conduct and the underlying intelligence concerns. Members of the Gang of Eight have also contacted the NSA to request the underlying intelligence that the whistleblower says Gabbard blocked. Lawmakers can make routine requests for classified information directly from intelligence agencies, such as the NSA. This request circumvents ODNI involvement, as well as the Office of the Inspector General. The leading Democrat on the House Oversight Committee, Stephen F. Lynch, wrote a letter to Acting Inspector General Johnson, warning that the integrity of the watchdog office could be compromised by Kirk's May appointment. Kirk served in the first Trump administration and was a co-author of Project 2025, a policy roadmap for restructuring the federal government. The appointment of a highly partisan advocate, Lynch wrote, someone prioritizing personal loyalty to President Trump above independence and professionalism in the federal government, and one who apparently answers to DNI Gabbard rather than to you, in a senior role within their intelligence community. Inspector General's office raises troubling questions about the independence of the ICIG. Johnson did not respond to a request for comment. She was replaced as the Intelligence Community Inspector General in October by Christopher Fox. This story was amended on February 7, 2026, to clarify that the phone call was between two people associated with foreign intelligence, who discussed someone close to Donald Trump, not between one of them and a person close to Trump. The earlier version was based on multiple phone calls with a source, who later said he had misspoken, and clarified the actual details of the call.